This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Bob Mata joining us, defense attorney and host of Defense Diaries. We're talking more about Koberger, a second attorney lawyer assigned to Koberger. It's likely far more than just a legal formality, although if they do want to try the death penalty on him in Idaho, it does require two death-qualified attorneys to be on the council for the defendant. Is this likely where this is headed, a death penalty case?
Yeah, I have no doubt that they're going to elect to go for the death penalty, like zero doubt. Like, this isn't one of those cases where, you know, because sometimes that consideration is based on strength of case. Mm-hmm. So like you can really use it as an indicator of what they believe that the strength of their case is, meaning like in a case where it's not as strong, okay, they may in a state where they can elect to go for the death penalty, they may elect not to, because that does tend to make it more difficult for a jury to find somebody guilty if they know that the end game is the death penalty. You know, there's a much more grand amount of finality to it, because you know that your decision is literally going to sentence that guy to death. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it tells a lot about the strength of the case. If they feel it's very strong, they're going to go for the death penalty. If they feel like it could go either way, and, you know, there's a possibility that he could walk out of there with a not guilty, they're going to err on the side of caution and you know, try to go for just life without the possibility of parole, because it's not as hard of a decision for jurors. You know, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't understand. It is a massive, massive undertaking to sit in judgment of somebody and to ultimately decide that you're going to put them to death. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different ballgame. Is. So, yeah, I think that if they elect to do it, that it's telling us that they believe that they have a very strong case, you know, and everybody's rooting for it. You know what I mean? So I think that they have the public support behind it. So
what is your take on, we are hearing reports out of the Latah County Jail that Koberger is very much into watching his own coverage still. Is this normal behavior for someone behind bars of a murder case? Or do you typically see this with, or have you seen it with any clients in the past where they're just really into their own coverage?
Of course. No. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. I broke my cardinal rule twice on your show here. Like, I don't say his name.
Okay.
Like,
For
me personally, yep. I saw it in his eyes immediately, at least the way that I saw the way that he looked. Mm-hmm. And he had that kind of sociopathic look to where I my gut instinct, and I tweeted it, is that this guy is going to relish this. Yeah. Like, he's going to just gobble it up, that this is what he's seeking. And I had said on my podcast, I said, I'm not going to use his name. I'm not mm-hmm. going to give him the one thing that he wants most, which is notoriety. So yeah, no, it does not surprise me. It's par for the course. And, you know, back in the old days, it was newspaper clippings, right?
Sure.
When you had the old serial killers, you'd walk in, they'd finally find them, and they'd have their own, you know, press clippings, you know, saved in a box or tacked on a wall. Now it's the internet, you know, now mm-hmm. they don't have to do it. Now they can find everything about themselves online. It's like, it's a whole different world, man. You know, and that's why I really try to push to not make the guy famous.
Sure.
You know, it's the weird fascination we have with killers is, you know, like, we should be memorializing the victims, mm-hmm. not the killers, you know, but it's like, that's going to be a hard trend to turn around, because we've been doing it for so long. People just have this fascination because people want to try to understand why.
Yeah. I think that's the main thing behind it, is try to understand why, and ultimately try and get in front of something before it gets to be like this. And I think in many cases we can look at cases, we can look at people that we know or have known and say, yeah, if somebody could have gotten in front of that, that could have been stopped, but there was no legal way to get in front of some of these, you know, freight trains from hell right. before they actually go and do their deeds.
Yeah, it's for certain, man. You know, and it's like, you know, my dad was Gacy's lawyer. That was an insanity defense case. And, you know, the thought was, let's try to learn something from this guy. You know, the death penalty is not going to bring the boys back. you know, if possible. You know, the problem with a lot of serial killers is they're just not forthright. Yeah. Like even to the grave, you know, you just can't get them to open up. You can't crack that nut in terms of trying to get into their brain and figure out what's ticking and what went wrong, you know? So that's the problem. It's, you know, we're left with some of our finest minds in terms of psychologists and psychiatrists trying to figure out, but the bottom line is they're just guessing, you know, because a lot of these guys don't. It's very rare for a serial killer to open up as to what was going on in their head. You know, it's like they're trying to put the pieces together from childhood. You know, is it nature? Is it nurture? What, you know, what caused it? Is a combination of both? You know, so I don't know. But yeah, I mean, for me, yes, the super long answer to your short question is, yeah, I think he's all about it.
It makes me wonder if he checked his ticket and marked his ticket and wanted to go on this ride, knowing that eventually he would get caught or assuming that that would happen at some point, and simply wanted to have the experience of it all.
I kind of get that same vibe, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird way. I don't know if we have any historical references or cases like that, but it feels like that's what he wanted to do. And he's in the middle of the ride. He's just sitting there watching the carts move around and enjoying the scenes as we all stare and scream.
I mean, I it's funny you said that, because it's like kind of the exact same thought process I have about this guy. Like even to the extent where he wanted to, like, I started to think that possibly he left the sheath purposefully in order to see if he could beat the case.
Yeah.
That he's that kind of guy.
Well,
you know, that, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And with his social interactions online, the Papa Roger, which looks very close to being him. Right. You know, I think Jennifer's done a lot of interesting research on that. And I know you differ on a lot of opinions with her, but I don't know, some of the stuff that she's dug up on that Papa Rogers, I don't know how it could not almost be him, but then some of the other stuff,
like I had run into that Papa Roger account before she was posting about it. Like,
yeah,
pretty early on. And yeah, when I was reading through it, I told my wife, who's my law partner, I'm like, man, I think this guy is him, you know. I found him like through a Reddit, you know, it was a sub. You know, I was on a sub and Reddit, and they had, because they always sniff stuff out like that. And I'm like, man, it's eerie. It's eerie, you know, and it's certainly not beyond the scope of reason that it's him. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not like crazy to think that it's him at all.
It almost makes me wonder if this is one long drug out suicide plot for himself, where, you know, maybe he's not going to pull the trigger, but he's going to force the state or the government to eventually do it. By going down this whole dramatic road that was all intended to go this way in his mind.
I mean, it certainly is a possibility, you know, death by cop, except, you know, in terms of that.
At a very grand scale.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, that suicide by cop's a real thing. And like you're saying, this would just be the very stretched out version where he then creates this legacy. As horrible as it is, it's still a legacy nonetheless. I mean, you can see from, you know, the people that he's got legions of people that are, you know, talking about free him and, you know, like support groups for him. It's like, it's just, that's how our society is. And like, I'm never going to criticize anybody in terms of what they think, because we all have our own opinions, and all of our opinions are filtered through our own lives and our own experiences. You can't, you know what I mean? It's I can sit on the sidelines and say, wow, that's crazy.
Sure.
You know, that some woman, like, you know, that's madly in love and that's my soulmate. But it's like, I don't know her. I don't know what she's gone through in her life. I don't know what's put her in the place to why she thinks that. But, you know, look, man, it takes all kinds in this world. It just does. Like, we're all individuals. It's like I say it all the time in terms of perception. We can all look at the exact same thing, and all of us are going to perceive it just a little bit differently than one another. Even if we come to the same conclusions, we'll reach it in a different way, just slightly, because all of our perceptions are based on everything that we've known and experienced in our lives. You know what I'm saying? That's how your perception is always going to be filtered through your own life experiences. So I don't know, man. Yeah. Like it is definitely a possibility. Like it would be fascinating to find out that, you know, because I know that Jennifer's been posting a lot about that manifesto from I forget what the guy's name is, but that one, that page 118 of that manifesto. Have you seen that thing?
I've been starting to look into it. Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time on it.
Just look at page 118. It was like a manifesto. It was like bizarre. She had posted it. Well, like that was something new that she had posted that I did find pretty interesting. And it was a real guy. This guy had posted this manifesto, and it was like basically what we're all thinking that was going through Koberger's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like you read through this thing, it's like him just talking about how women have shunned him, and now it's time to pay. But you know, I'm going to seek my revenge on them for years of being shunned. It's like I'm better looking, I'm smarter than all these guys, or you know. So it's like, and it goes on for, and then the kid actually ended up doing it.
That was a twisted case.
It's completely twisted, man. But it was like a very, very lengthy manifesto.
Yeah.
And there's this one particular page that has some very eerie similarities to what went on in terms of Idaho. So, you know, that it's interesting. You know, it's like, I'm not huge on speculating. Like Jennifer likes to speculate a lot more than I do, which, you know, and I respect her for it. You know, she likes to try to dive in and figure things out ahead of time.
Sure.
You know, like I do too, but I like to try to base it on facts. You know what I mean? that's kind of like where we separate. Like she will, you know, but that's the law enforcement side of it. You know?
Exactly. It's two different perspectives.
Yeah, totally. So they do that, you know, they have to try to kind of create a wider net and try to figure out, you know, what makes people tick. And, you know, whereas the lawyers were getting it from once the evidence has been collected stage, you know? So yeah, in terms of the mindsets, it's just different.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Bob Mata, thank you so much for your insight into this case. Always appreciative. And you can check out his podcast. It's called Defense Diaries, wherever you download podcasts. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.